fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Okay, a little bit of NFL draft talk, a little bit of rankings talk, a lot of your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. What's up? We welcome you to Fantasy Football Today. The four of us are here. I am Adam Azer. Dave is here. Hi, Dave Richard.
What up, yo?
Oh, feeling good, man. Week till the draft. I'm excited. I know you guys did a mock draft on HQ. We'll talk about that. Hello, Jamie Eisenberg.
Hello, Adam Azer.
Okay. Heath, bring the fun. Heath Cummings.
Really glad I was able to fit you in today.
What do you mean?
It's been a while since we've talked.
No, it is. And we're putting your rankings to the test. We're going to look at your rankings of David Johnson, of Chris Carson, of Juju Smith-Schuster, and of Alshon Jeffrey. They are fairly different than what we see
from
David.
Wait, stop there. I want to ask Heath a rankings question. Heath, where did you rank Yu Darvish before the season?
Below where Adam had him.
Adam had him like top three. So
right.
There's only one place to go.
I think I had him around 14 or so. Adam had him as a top three starting pitcher. I know that you guys took him.
Yeah, no, that's false. So
over Garrett Cole, nobody would have done that.
I know. Thank you, Dave. And let me just say that like basically rule number one, not rule number one, but rule number like four of this podcast and all the podcasts that I host, all two of them, no inside jokes. I say it over and over and over again. So if you hear any inside jokes on this podcast, it's not my fault. It's typically Jamie's fault. I'm pointing the finger squarely at Jamie. All right, Jamie, you mentioned...
That's a heck of a finger you're choosing to point at.
Are you sullying my name?
Yes. Jamie, you teased an auction strategy that you were going to talk about. Are you prepared to talk about an auction strategy?
Sure, I can BS my way through it. I had a conversation with one of our coworkers here, Michael Kaiser, and he goes by Michael when he wants to be formal. And in our auction last year, he left $33 on the table of a $100 budget. His team was fairly competitive. I don't know
made
how
made the playoffs.
Okay, so even better. So he made the playoffs. I don't know how in how on top of his waiver moves he was during the season, but clearly he could have probably had a better team if he spent that $33 on some high profile players. But in the course of the conversation about his team from a year ago, we started talking about could you just get away with. Clearly, it's easy to spend a dollar or maybe $2 on quarterback, tight end, kicker, defense. Based on at least our auctions have gone the last few years, we found a lot of value at quarterback. You know you can do it certainly at kicker and defense, and then you take a flyer on one of the tight ends. But what if you just did that, and then instead of spending on guys, you took $5 in that range and just tried to make sure you lock up all of the hot-button rookies or late-round potential guys and just filled your team that way.
So just all upside?
But it's obviously easy to say upside, but I'm looking at guys that are on talented roster. The conversation we had was like, could you look at Smith-Schuster on the Steelers because it's a high profile passing attack, and if he gets an opportunity, he could be good. Alvin Kamara as the third running back for the Saints. Could he be good? Just taking shots on all those guys on good teams that may or may not get an opportunity.
You're talking about those guys as they were rookies, not now.
You're looking for this year's version.
The potential, obviously this year's version, but like the retread guys too that may still have some value. So like, could you get, let's say, Josh Doctson or Jamison Crowder, who could be the number one guy in Washington, and just take five running backs, five receivers that way, and just build a team in that direction? Could you have success?
I don't think it's the easy way.
No, it's not the easy way. It's not a simple strategy.
Wait, where are you spending big?
You're not.
Never?
You're gonna have so much money left.
Then I don't like it.
That's the thing. Like, could you get away with not spending money in an auction? I guess that was the strategy.
Yeah, that is a strategy.
Yeah, that sounds like the dumbest strategy ever.
Yeah, this is terrible. I think, but you could do a hybrid of like if you have all that money left over.
I think it was just the way I just got finished talking about it. So when I was thinking about it, it was more would it be fun to do it? Not necessarily as a good strategy.
Well, if you want to,
let's say you've got $100 budget. Mm-hmm. You're going to give up a buck on a quarterback, a buck on a DST, a buck on a kicker, and a buck on a tight end.
$95.
So you've got all that left over divided by 10 spots.
What if you only spent 30 of it?
I mean, is it a dare? Do I get a prize?
You can do this, JB.
Could you be successful?
You can do this, but you have that money spent, sent, God, why do I keep saying that? Left over. You could obviously spend it on really good players. Like, you could get two really good players and then do that strategy. Like, that could work.
That's not as fun. That's not as fun.
Okay, well.
I don't know. I think that could be fun.
No, it's not as fun.
I think we need Kaiser on the podcast to
spend 25 on a wide receiver, 30 on a running back, and then you splurge 30-ish on another running back. So you've got 85 tied up in three stud players. You have $15 left.
That's already a strategy. People do that.
People do
that. Right. Jamie's breaking ground here.
I want to do the more fun approach and just see if you could be successful just taking
bad players
like crap.
Right. Yeah, okay, great. So, hey, vote for us for podcast awards next time that's out, because these 5 minutes have been award-winning stuff. Here's an email of the day from Brandon at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I'm thinking I probably should have asked Jamie what the strategy was before I made it the lead of the show.
No. This was great.
I got a better tease for next show. Wait till this one.
Jamie's got a kicker strategy he's going to give us.
All right, here's the email from Brandon.
We do our wish lists.
Brandon wants to know, are you guys going to do the predict the top 10 picks for a spot in the podcast league thing this year? Yes, we are. All right, so what is that? Well, you want in the podcast league? This is your first opportunity. Let us know who you think the top 10 picks of the upcoming NFL draft are going to be, and has to be in the right order. So one, Josh Allen, or whoever you think it's going to be, two, Barkley, whatever. It doesn't matter which team takes them. Just the order. The winner will probably get 7 right, something like that. Most people will probably get 3 or 4 right. It's a two-part thing. Part one is this. Yes, I want to know who you think is going to who you think will be the top 10 picks. Part two, more importantly, people have tweeted me or emailed me and said there is a better way to do it than the way I currently do it, which is having everybody send an email and then I go through like hundreds of emails. It takes forever. So if you could first tell me the more efficient way to do it, like maybe a Google Doc or something that I could share, then yes, please email me with that information or tweet me, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, or you can tweet at Adam Azer, AIZER. If you can think of a better, more efficient way that will save me hours, I would really love you for that.
It's on par with my auction strategy.
No, stop.
No, but this is going to be good. Everybody should leave their top 10 in order on the voicemails. Listen to them and have to write them all down.
I was thinking as a strategy for this contest, what if people just picked the top 5 and didn't send the other 5? Do you think they could win that way?
For their top 5, just pick guys that are probably going to be drafted in like the 5th round. So if you could help me out with that, that'd be great. And then I would say send in your top 10 picks emails Monday or later, okay? Because it doesn't really matter when you send them. You want the most information you can get, so you should wait. But yes, we will do that. The email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're going to do another podcast on Monday. At that point, I will announce the final details of the contest and how to enter. Now, email of the day number 2.
When is the cutoff? Thursday morning?
Yeah, Thursday morning, before the draft. Email of the day number 2 is from Greg. Greetings, Robert, Travis, Zachariah, and Evan. Okay, great.
Tight ends.
They are?
Those are my top 4 tight ends.
Oh, Gronkowski, Kelce, Zachariah Ertz, and Evan Engram. 12-team PPR, 16 draft spots. In a recent podcast, someone alluded to a strategy I've considered. I have in the past taken an elite-level tight end in the first 6 rounds. It's paid off. But this year, I am considering waiting on a tight end, utilizing my first 6 picks on running back and wide receiver, and I want to take 2 tight ends in the last half of the draft with the hope that at least one will break out. Maybe a combination of O.J. Howard and George Kittle, Trey Burton, or even a rookie. I feel like this rookie tight end class is another good one and could produce another Evan Engram. I took Engram in the 16th round last year. So Greg's strategy is first 6 picks are running backs and wide receivers. He hasn't talked about quarterback, but that's obviously later. And then late in the draft, 2 tight ends with upside. What do you guys think?
I like it. But I would prefer just generally saying that taking 2 tight ends is a good idea this year. I think the position is deep enough to where you can do it. One of them will be a late pick. Another one, you can have 2 late round picks as tight ends, or you can get one early and then just earmark a bench spot for another one later. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about drafting 2 quarterbacks this year. And I don't have a problem with that either, except when the time comes to where one of the other owners in your league needs a quarterback, the trade market isn't going to be that strong. he won't have to give up that much because there's going to be three or four other teams in the league that have a backup quarterback to deal. So, because I think more people are going to do it. So having a backup tight end and having one that hits, that'll get you more in trade, or it'll give you a second starter for your team or a first starter at tight end if your other tight end sucks. And I think this is a great year to give that a shot.
Okay. I don't really know about the rookies. There's probably only one that we're going to be looking at, Dallas Goedert, who's out of South Dakota State. And I do want to ask you guys, can you name the tight ends in the 2013 draft class?
2013?
Yeah. This has got to be one of the greatest tight end drafts ever. 2013.
That's Kelsey Ertz.
Yep. Who else? Two more big ones.
So these guys are entering their fifth year.
Yeah, who was the first one taken? Before Kelsey, before Ertz?
Was it the Ebron year?
No. He was 2014. It was Tyler Eifert was one. Zach Ertz, two.
Who is one of those late-round sleepers, by the way, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Like, final round. Like, it's my last pick. I've already taken the kicker and a defense. What the hell?
Eifert, he's Ertz, healthy. Gavin Escobar was the third tight end. Vance McDonald was the fourth. And then Travis Kelce. And then Jordan Reed. But none of those guys finished as top 15 tight ends. It's very rare to see what Evan Engram did. He was top five last year. The year before that, Hunter Henry was 11th in standard, but 19th in PPR. It's pretty rare to have a must-start tight end as a rookie. All right, thank you for
Don't overlook Hayden Hurst, though, as a rookie tight end from South Carolina.
Like everything else, it's going to come down to fit.
Yeah. News and notes. Tom Brady, according to ESPN, is not committed to playing this season. Do you guys make a lot of this? Okay, I get it. Le'Veon Bell did not report for the Steelers' voluntary offseason program. There was a report today that probably is not true that said that the Browns could draft two quarterbacks with their first two picks, which are 1 and 4. I brought that up when we interviewed Nathan Zagura, and I think they should do it. I think they should draft two quarterbacks.
I think they should draft two quarterbacks as well. I do not think that they should use their first two picks to do that. I believe they should use one of their first two picks and then take one later in the draft.
Okay, fine. The Giants drafting Saquon Barkley second overall feels inevitable, according to Todd McShay. Reminder that the Giants added left tackle Nate Solder and guard Patrick Omame this offseason. And Dave and Jamie, you guys just got off CBS Sports HQ. You pre-recorded a segment where you're doing a mock draft with some of our NFL experts. Did Barkley go second to the Giants?
No, he fell to 22. Nobody wanted him.
He did. He went to the Giants. You know, there's more Giants news on top of this.
Oh, right. They cut Brandon Marshall.
Oh, yeah. That's that beautiful guy.
Yeah.
Does that open a door for Dez Bryant? Do Odell and Dez play on the same team?
Probably not, right?
I don't think so either, but it's kind of fun to think about. I sound creepy when I whisper.
Would you guys like that destination for Saquon?
It's not my favorite of the three teams in the top seven that he can go to, or maybe I guess four. I don't think he's going to Cleveland personally, but I would much rather see him in Indianapolis or Tampa Bay.
If you build it, they will come.
The Dolphins are expected to pick up Devontae Parker's fifth-year option, according to the Palm Beach Post. Tampa Bay linebacker Kendall Beckwith, he was in a car accident. He needs ankle surgery and might miss the start of the season, and we hope not. Speedy recovery, Kendall Beckwith. And then this is interesting. Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, said that Jordan Howard will be the featured back. He also said he will move Tariq Cohen around, and he said that Kevin White has a big ceiling. But let's talk about Jordan Howard, who actually has been a top 12 running back 2 years. No, top 10. He was ninth as a rookie. He was 10th last year in standard. He was ninth in PPR and 14th in PPR in his 2 years. So what do you make of that? That he's got a vote of confidence from his head coach, Jamie.
I don't think there's any other choice but to support him because he's going to be their starting running back. But he also said they're going to use Tariq Cohen and kind of make him Tyreek Hill. So I think you're going to see both guys get work. Jordan Howard should get a lot of carries again, and I think he's a very safe number two running back.
When you say he's going to make Tariq Cohen Tyreek Hill, do you believe that Tariq Cohen's going to get the type of workload that Tyreek Hill got last year?
No, no, no. But they're going to use him in different ways. They're going to be creative with him. I mean, they're going to use him as a receiver. They'll use him as a running back catching passes. So he's going to get plenty of touches.
I think he's more like rookie year Tyreek Hill, where he was more involved in the running game, didn't get as many targets.
That dude still was pretty good.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen's pretty good.
Hopefully it's not DeAnthony Thomas, though, because that could also be a situation.
Or Dexter McCluster.
Can we go back to the Le'Veon Bell thing?
I want to talk about Jordan Howard, but sure. Go to Le'Veon Bell.
Well, you want to finish on Jordan Howard?
Go back to my auction strategy. I want to discuss that.
Yeah, let's wrap
Jamie,
up.
What if I want to spend $2?
No, that's too much money.
Let's wrap up Howard.
Is there a chance that the Steelers draft a running back with their late first-round pick or second-round pick?
I thought we were doing Howard.
Bug us. He's boring.
Okay. Fine.
Maybe they trade for Jordan Howard.
Oh boy.
Well, yeah. I mean, they definitely could invest in running back. This could be the last year for Le'Veon Bell on.
But there's a difference between investing in a running back and using a big pick on a running back.
I totally agree. Maybe in the second round or third round, but not in the first round. There's so much talent in this.
And they did it last year. They got James Conner,
who had trouble staying healthy.
Yeah. It's kind of messy.
Even if they did take a running back, let's say in round two, would you ever think that it would eat into the workload of Le'Veon Bell?
Depends on how good that running back is, really.
The only way I would get concerned about the workload of Le'Veon Bell is if they sign him to a longer-term deal. And he's on a year-to-year basis. They have no reason to do anything other but just run him into the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do some rankings disputes. Later, we have your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But you should download the CBS Sports app, and you should watch CBS Sports HQ. If you're a real sports fan, you're going to love it. It is news, scores, and highlights. It is really informative stuff, and it's entertaining. The hosts are great. I mean, everything is great. We're really proud of it. So please check it out, CBS Sports HQ. I watch on my Roku all the time. You can watch on Apple TV, on your connected devices. Again, download the CBS Sports app, and it's 24/7, and it's free, by the way. CBS Sports HQ.
Yeah, you don't even have to sign up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Heath, let's put your rankings under the microscope. David Johnson. Now, very similar where you have him ranked compared to Dave and Jamie if you just look at running backs. But if you look at top 200, you have David Johnson as your number 11 overall player.
He's up to number 10. He moved up today.
He's moving on up. Number 10, David Johnson, whereas Dave and Jamie have Johnson fourth. Dave has Johnson sixth in PPR. He's got the wide receivers going ahead. But yeah, number 10, David Johnson. Well, he's not going to go that late.
I listened to this podcast, has really, really good auction strategies and a very smart host. And this host is always providing good information about how difficult it is to be an elite running back on a really bad team. And I'm kind of worried the Arizona Cardinals
listen carefully, though.
Are going to be a really bad team.
Okay.
Carefully to the host argument.
Let's talk about that then. Yeah, because I did. I came prepared to discuss this. Jamie, what would you like to say about this running?
I mean, your argument is if the guy catches passes, he's still okay.
So yeah, in PPR, definitely. So this is what's happened over the last 4 years. Let's say we want David Johnson to be a top five running back, because without going through all the numbers, clearly he can be a top 10 running back. For example, Jordan Howard has done it twice in a row.
And I have him fifth at running back.
Okay. Now, do we want him to be a top five running back? Yes. Everybody who drafts him is probably drafting him as a top five running back. Can he be a top five running back on a really bad offense? Over the last 4 years, 2014, Matt Forte did it. 2015 was the weirdest running back year ever, and a lot, and like, Todd Gurley did it. Devontae Freeman did it. Like, a bunch of running backs did it. But that year, like, barely counts. It was so weird. 2016 to 2017, not even close. DeMarco Murray was a top five running back in 2016. He was on the worst scoring offense of the top five running backs. They were 14th. And last year, Melvin Gordon was on the worst offense of the top five running backs, and they were 13th. Now, without going through it again, if you look at the notes, I broke it down. I mean, most of the top five running backs are on really, really good offenses. So, yes, Heath, I share your concerns about David Johnson finishing as a top five running back. Specifically in standard scoring, and specifically because the team could be so bad.
And to be clear, I have him ranked as a top five running back. I've got him fifth. I just don't feel as certain about him as I do that first and really second tier of wide receivers. So, I think I have him behind one running back that Dave and Jamie don't, and that's Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. But I have him in the top 200 behind a lot of wide receivers that they have him ahead of. I just feel more confident in the production of those wide receivers.
Guys, what do you think? Dave, Jamie?
Well, I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind after the draft. I want to see what the Cardinals do first. I'm nervous about that team. Nervous about any team that's got Sam Bradford at quarterback, and the backup is Mike Glennon. It's not good. Not good. And the offensive line, definitely they're getting some guys back who are healthy. I'm worried about them too. I almost feel like you have to buy into David Johnson as a pass catcher and almost expect him to get you, goodness, probably along the lines of 35 to 40 receiving yards a game in order for him to get to that level of where you're drafting him as a number one running back. But he's the main guy in the offense. He's got fresh legs, as fresh as you can get, because he didn't play last year. Remember, he sat out the season because of a wrist injury. And, you know, bell cow running backs, he's going to get a lot of work. It's going to come back the other way, provided he stays healthy. The Rams defense is going to be tough, but the rest of the division I don't think is that dangerous for him as a running back. The schedule, everybody's schedule is going to be bad this year. No one's going to have a cakewalk of a schedule. And I think David Johnson on volume, on catches, and on goal line work will get you what you want in fantasy, and that's why you'll take him with a top five pick.
You said how many receiving yards a game?
About 35 or so.
All right, so he averaged almost 60 2 years ago, so I think he'll do that rather easily. I love his role, his touches. I don't see that changing. He may have a tougher time with the you know, to get to 20 total touchdowns. That's not realistic. Will he be 2,000 total yards like he was 2 years ago? That's probably not realistic. But 1,500 total yards for a guy that's talented as he is, and as we saw in his rookie season, when I believe he had the fastest play in the league on a, I think it was a kickoff return.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's a difference maker, and so. It may not be as pretty as it was 2 years ago or the expectations that it was from last year because of what's around him. But, you know, to what Dave said, you know, I don't think it's fair to fully judge what the Cardinals are right now, because they could still go get a quarterback who could maybe be the starter. Because I think if they draft somebody in the first round, whether they move up to get, let's say, Lamar Jackson or maybe somebody better if somebody falls, that could change the tenor of what this team looks like. And I just think he's just an elite talent. And so I'll always buy into an elite talent before I see what the finished product is.
All right. Next ranking is about a Seahawks running back, Chris Carson. Firmly a low-end number two for Dave and Jamie in standard. Jamie's got him lower, 29th in PPR. Heath is like basically not even considering Chris Carson right now. 39th in standard, 50th in PPR. Heath, why do you hate Chris Carson with so much passion?
Well, the difficult part of the exercise is trying to decide before the draft who a team's starting running back is. And when I went through and did that with the Seahawks, I decided it was pretty much Russell Wilson. This team's defense is not going to be good. The entire game plan, I can't see another game plan besides Russell Wilson run around like crazy and throw crazy passes 40 times a game. And I don't – like, Chris Carson's had one good game in the NFL. He had injury problems in high school. He tore an ACL. He had injury problems in college. He had an injury problem last year. And he's not currently, like, he's in a competition for the starting job. So I don't really have a lot of interest in that.
But he's in a competition with who?
Mike Davis.
Okay. So it's not.
I mean, it's a seventh round draft. He's a seventh round draft pick. He's not David Johnson.
And Mike Davis was okay. He looked okay when he had chances to play. He didn't have very many big games, that's for sure. I'm a big Chris Carson fan. I think the Seahawks are going to have to spend their draft capital at positions other than running back. It's going to take somebody else coming in there who looks as good, if not better, than Chris Carson for me to move him down.
But I don't know that it's going to take someone else coming in there for him to not be good in fantasy. Like, they,
because they could just go with someone else.
Or they could just not be able to run the ball again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is that a concern? You know, it could be like the Lions. It doesn't matter who the lead back is. You're never getting good production in the past. You know, it could be just a really bad, the Giants, right? But Carson, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's what you're kind of thinking, Heath, is they're just not going to have a good running game.
I don't expect they're going to have a good running game. I don't expect they're going to run the ball a lot, and I don't expect they're going to run the ball efficiently.
Well, they won't run the ball a lot if they end up playing from behind and their offensive line doesn't help them, and that's football. But I like the addition of DJ Fluker at guard. They're going to have Dwayne Brown at left tackle through training camp and the start of the season. And I'm sure they'll draft another lineman along the way. And so I wouldn't rule out Seattle's offensive line from being decent. Okay. And that'll help encourage them to run the football. And it'll certainly help Russell Wilson throw the ball better.
Next ranking, Juju Smith-Schuster. Dave and Jamie have Juju low-end number three wide receiver, 33, 35 in the rankings. Heath's got him 22nd in standard, 21st in PPR. Heath, why do you love with such a passion Juju Smith-Schuster?
I mean, have you followed him on Twitter?
No, actually.
He is a lot of fun. Son might get himself in trouble a couple of times, but that's okay. No, I just, listen, I've got Ben Roethlisberger as my number four quarterback, too. I've got really high expectations for the Steelers offense, and I expect Juju to get a bigger share of the targets than Martavis does. And that's risky, but he's a better player, so that's the way they should do it.
I'm concerned about Smith-Schuster's targets and touchdowns in an offense with Antonio Brown. Because he was great when Antonio Brown got hurt, and he occasionally came through when Brown was on the field.
Yeah, he was incredible when Antonio Brown got hurt. Last three games of the season, Smooster scored, I'll just call him that, scored 11, 13, and 20 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues with 6, 6, and 9 catches. Brown missed two of those games completely and got hurt pretty early in that New England game, if you recall, in week 15. So he was great. Before that, he had two massive games, week 8 at Detroit, week 10 at Indianapolis. But then also, what, he got a concussion, right? Juju?
He got suspended.
Oh, he got suspended. Okay. He missed week 12 and he missed week 14.
One was a concussion, one was a suspension.
Okay. So yeah, Jamie, you want to comment why you have Juju as a low-end number three rather than a low-end number two, like your buddy Heath?
Yeah, we talked about this previously, and Dave hit on it. It's the target share. You know, you saw what it was even in the playoff game where Roethlisberger threw the ball, what, 50 times, 50-plus times in the game against Jacksonville?
Sounds right.
And Smith-Schuster was not really involved until he had the garbage touchdown. I think he had 3 catches for 5 yards.
On 5 targets, yep.
Score of the game. I just think he's going to have some big weeks, and he's going to have a lot of weeks where he disappoints you as well. So he's feels more of a number three receiver to me than a must start guy. And the one thing that would change that would be if they somehow moved on from Le'Veon Bell and found a running back that does not work as much in the pass game, because at best, Smith-Schuster's third in terms of targets. And I think you'll see, whether it's Vance McDonald, whether it's Martavis Bryant, there's just going to be some weeks where he doesn't get the targets that he needs to be successful. It could also be, you know, where he just needs one big play, because he's a great player or a very talented player in an offense that's prolific throwing the ball. But I just don't see him being a weekly starter for your fantasy team throughout the course of the season.
Last one here is Alshon Jeffrey. We've talked about David Johnson, Chris Carson, Schmooster, and here's Alshon Jeffrey. We avoided Carson Wentz, but now we're sort of incorporating Carson Wentz because Heath obviously is the low guy on Wentz. Also the low guy on Alshon. You have Alshon 21st in standard, 28th in PPR. Jamie has Alshon 18th in standard, 21st in PPR, and Dave is in love with Alshon Jeffrey, 13th in standard, 14th in PPR. But Heath, this is your big day, so you tell us why you're the low guy on Alshon.
This is my big day. I really appreciate that. He got plenty of targets last year. In fact, more than I expected him to. He was not very good on a per target basis, and really the thing that saved him, 9 touchdowns on 57 catches, 47% catch rate. I think Carson Wentz has got some touchdown regression coming. If there's one person that's going to hurt, it's Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay, yeah, I don't know why he only caught 57 of 120 targets. That was very weird.
I mean, it was kind of weird, but if you look at his career, 52 of 94, 54 of 94, it wasn't that weird.
He's been anywhere between 55 and 60%.
He did play most of the season last year, at least according to the reports, with a separated shoulder or torn.
And that would make a difference.
And he has played most of his career hurt. He's had hamstrings. Like when he went to Philadelphia, the reason he got a 1-year deal is because of all of his injury problems.
It was one of the reasons why I didn't want to draft
him. It was also the PED situation at the end of his time in Chicago.
But he's a touchdown magnet. He had a year with 10 in Chicago. He had another big year in Chicago. I don't know how many it was. And then he had 9 last year. And I don't see how teams can double team him and feel good about themselves in the red zone when guys like Zach Ertz are there. The running backs are going to make plays. This is a creative offense. Doug Peterson has done it. You saw it in the Super Bowl. They're going to keep doing it. And I don't mind projecting Alshon for 8-plus touchdowns. I think he's going to deliver for fantasy owners at least half the season.
Okay. He was 15th in standard, 20th in PPR last year, and Jeffrey did have rotator cuff surgery. in the offseason. So we.
But
will
do you see him? You see him more than 60 catches though? That's the problem for me. I don't see his numbers really going up.
Well,
I think he could be somewhat the same.
He's had two seasons. His first two seasons, Jeffrey had 89 and 85 catches. Is he just done from being that player?
Well, he got 150 targets almost in both those years.
Yeah, that's true. And he's on an offense that will spread the ball around. And he's on a team with a defense that might actually limit. This is helping Heath's argument. That defense could be better this year than it was last year.
But he had these 85.
Could be a couple of games where Wentz, you know, goes off for 250 and one, and the run game for Philadelphia, if it's Ajayi and Clement, that's great. They combine for three touchdowns on the ground.
He had these big seasons, 85 catches with Brandon Marshall on his team, right? Was it both years? I mean, it was
yeah, but that was those two guys just getting fed the ball.
Yeah.
That was Jay Cutler going
there was
nuts.
No, there was no Zach Ertz on that team. He averaged 49 yards per game last year.
Yeah, it was a strange year.
No, he was made by his touchdowns. Mm-hmm.
All righty. So let's get into our wish list for every AFC team. We'll do NFC on Monday. Also, we'll get some draft guy on Monday's show and get some draft insight for you. It could help you with our podcast league contest. Email address fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And that's about all I have to say. So here we go. AFC East, what's your wish list for the New York Jets of the third overall pick?
I mean, they got to get a quarterback.
Okay.
I kind of want them to take one of the quarterbacks that I don't like as much.
Why?
Because I don't think it's a good situation there. And so I would rather, like, I really like Baker Mayfield, and I don't want him to go to the Jets.
Is it not that good of a situation? It's not that bad, right? They have some talent there.
Oh, what? I don't understand what the end goal here is then. You don't want them to be better?
I don't know if this is wish list for players we like or wish list for what would make them better or wish list for what makes fantasy better.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. You want one of the better quarterbacks to go to a better distance. That's totally cool. I get that.
Right, but I guess then I don't understand the exercise. Are we trying to the best situation for these rookies to have fantasy success? Is that your...
No, I think it's what the teams are going to do. But Heath says, yeah, Heath agrees. Take a quarterback. Just Heath doesn't want it to be one of the good quarterbacks.
Right, but that's the thing. I don't understand what we're trying to accomplish.
Don't take it so seriously. Just have
no,
fun.
No, no, but what are we wishing for?
NFL team wish list. Yeah, that's what everybody else is wishing for. Yeah. All right, let's move on. So the Jets need a quarterback. How about the Dolphins?
Quarterback.
No one knows how to answer.
I don't want them to take a running back. I don't want them to sign C.J. Anderson. I want them to be completely happy with Frank Gore. So that way Kenyon Drake can be considered a 15-plus touch rusher.
They're taking a running back at some point, though.
Yeah, I would like for them to take a quarterback as well.
Okay, at 11th overall, did you guys mock them on HQ, the Dolphins?
Yep, we did.
Who'd they take?
They took Josh Rosen.
Oh,
Josh
wow.
Rosen fell to 11.
Okay. Now, Tannehill's good enough to keep Rosen on the bench for a while, right?
If he's healthy. I mean, he hasn't played in 16 games.
I want the Dolphins to get a quarterback and a trainer to make Devontae Parker become alive so that we can finally see his potential met.
I think I'm going to be a Devontae Parker guy this year.
Okay.
How come?
Because he's copying.
Because no one else is, and you're going to be able to get
him late. They got 150 targets to spread around.
They got Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola.
They've got 140 targets to spread around.
Buffalo has the 12th and 22nd picks. What is your Buffalo Bills wish list?
I think they should take a quarterback.
They should. They definitely should. And they're not going to take a running. Well, not early anyway. Do they need defense? I mean, you can also say defense here. Just FYI.
No, they need a quarterback. Of the teams we've talked about so far, they need it the worst.
Okay. And the Patriots then, 23rd and 31st overall.
You're going to love our mock draft on HQ.
Yeah, don't say anything else.
Yeah, just when it comes to the Patriots and quarterback. They need offensive tackle.
Yes, keep Brady healthy.
Okay, well, Brady's probably
they also need
retire,
a field stretcher. So. They need a deep ball receiver.
Brady's
no, they have about seven of those. Just none of them are good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kenny Britt, Malcolm Mitchell,
Jordan
Cordell
Matthews.
You're right, man. These
Jordan
guys
Matthews.
Stink. Chris Hogan's their best one.
They're going to turn Cordarrelle Patterson into the player he was supposed to be.
They need Frankenstein to sew together Patterson, Mitchell, Dorsett, and Kenny Britt into one player.
Where are the hands?
Oh, crap.
Edelman.
AFC East is kind of boring. Let's go to the AFC North. Cleveland, first and fourth overall picks. What do they do?
I do not want the Browns to take a quarterback.
Really? Oh, you like Tyrod?
I want to see Tyrod for a year with those weapons.
You're gonna. You're gonna see him for
four games.
I'll take the over. I think he'll Five play. I think he'll get at least half the season.
Remember when we did this with Deshaun Watson and Dave was right because he came in like the second game, but then he got hurt, so then Dave lost the bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
No. Speaking of bets, when are you going to rep?
Yeah, I know.
It's like I gave you the song.
We're a little busy this week and next week, so it's going to have to come after that.
Can we get a deadline?
For me?
Yeah, you're in charge.
Heath's turning to you. You're the boss. This is your podcast.
Well, I think we should do listeners. I think we should do it during training camp when we have more listeners. Like okay. The opening of training camp, Dave raps.
I'm rapping. So, I
that
wish.
That sounds great. Maybe our first position preview show.
I don't know about that, but opening of training camp. All right. So the Browns at first and fourth overall. Do you think they take Barkley?
No.
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 Okay.
So they will.
They're going to take Josh Allen, let's say, number one. What do you think they do at four?
Chubb, if he's there.
Trade.
All right. So we wish they trade. Baltimore at 16.
They need to take a quarterback.
Wide receiver or tight end?
A tight end would be good there.
Yep.
The only tight end that's going in the first round is Goddard, right?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Hayden Hurst could go in the first round.
Okay.
Or neither of them could go in the first round.
So I don't really love the destination. If they take a tight end.
No, Baltimore loves to throw the ball 4 yards downfield. They get a young tight end that stays healthy and like learns things quickly. He could catch 60 passes.
I think this would be a great spot for DJ Moore or Calvin Ridley.
A lot of people think of Ridley just because of
the Alabama connection. Yep.
I don't want to run a receiver here.
I don't know if you'd ruin him. I'm not sure if that would be the case. I think this offense could be a little bit better than people think it is.
Well, I mean, the last receiver they drafted worked out really well.
Yeah.
He couldn't stay healthy, and he had some receiving issues when they drafted him.
Receiving issues for a receiver. That's not a good sign.
No. That's true. I'm not the one who drafted him. But I think if you add Ridley to Crabtree and John Brown, they need a receiver. They got to get somebody with speed who can stay healthy.
Didn't they sign Ryan Grant?
No. Well, they tried. Well,
I don't know
if that would have helped in this regard.
Fool you. All right, Cincinnati, 21st overall. What's on the Bengals' wish list?
Offensive line.
Quarterback.
No, they got Andy Dalton. They've got a good quarterback. They need about 7 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And that could be really significant for fantasy, right?
It'd definitely. Great, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And specifically, they need guys that can do zone blocking because I think that is what will help Joe Mixon.
They need guys that can run block and pass block and zone block. All the blocking.
All right, you could be looking at a Will Hernandez out of UTEP, perhaps. We have him mocking. We have one mock that has them taking a center. James Daniels out of Iowa. So, yeah, that's what the Bengals could be looking at.
That's another team that, and this is going to sound nuts, it's another team that could use another receiver. Probably won't do it in the first round because this
but
is what
they got a great one
year.
Last year.
I know. They need another one. They can't have Brandon LaFell as their number two guy again, can they?
Okay, Pittsburgh at 28th. What do the Steelers do?
Defense.
100% defense.
Okay. Boring. That's fine. It makes sense. Although we do have a Darius Geis. Look at this mock draft. I'm looking at CBSSports.com mock draft. We have Darius Geis. It's like got a bunch of people mocking. Darius Geis, Rashawn Evans, which is a linebacker, Calvin Ridley. Oh, no, there's a mock trade from Pittsburgh. All right, so Darius Geis is an interesting – that would be weird. AFC South, Colts, 6th overall. What do they do?
Oh, please let them get Barkley.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Or someone.
Please let them not get a quarterback. Because if they draft a quarterback in the first round, that tells you all you need to know about Andrew.
But that might help us. I mean, at least we know then he's not
right.
Wouldn't
be ranking him at least.
Yeah. I think you'll see them if they get, let's say, if they go Roquan or somebody else defensively in the first round, they're going to take a running back at some point, round two or round three.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they definitely need a lot of defensive help. Round two running back is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
I think they should trade down.
The Colts?
Yeah.
No, they did.
They should keep on going because they need a lot of help.
The Titans have the 25th pick of the draft. What do the Titans do?
Defense.
Yeah, I'd go defense.
Yeah, seems like there's a consensus there. Defense for the Titans. The Jaguars have the 29th pick.
Lamar Jackson.
That's not a joke, right?
No, that was not a joke.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I can see them going tight end as well. They could also be in the market for receiver. You know, just they have a bunch of guys. They don't really have a clear-cut number one guy to play receiver there. So maybe somebody, maybe DJ Moore, maybe Cortland Sutton, if Calvin Ridley falls. But I could see them in the market for Hayden Hurst, too.
Let's say they take a rookie receiver. Who would your favorite Jaguars receiver be?
Still Marquise Lee, but I probably wouldn't draft any of them.
Keelan Cole, PPR.
Leonard Fournette. That's it.
The Texans do not have a first or second round pick. They have the fourth pick of round three. Where do you think the Texans focus on in this draft?
They could take a tight end. They've always liked kind of playing multiple tight ends, and they've lost Fedorowicz. They still have Steven Anderson, but he's all they've got right now, right?
They got a lot of average Joes at tight end. Anderson, Ryan Griffin. They got Matt Langle, former Patriot, off waivers. This is exciting stuff.
All right.
They could definitely use a tight end. But I don't think any of the good ones are going to be there in round three.
Now, they're not going to be a team with a major fantasy impact in the draft unless they move up. But would they go running back, do you think? They could use some depth there, I think.
I don't think they will. They've got Foreman coming back from his injury. Plus, they've got Lamar Miller. I just think that that's a position that they don't need to focus on. I'm concerned about their tackles. They've got Julian Davenport.
Yeah, I think offensive.
Chantrell Henderson as their starting tackles. That makes the Patriots look good.
They also talked about Alfred Blue still being brought back. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, to the AFC West. The Denver Broncos have the fifth pick in the NFL draft. Who are they selecting?
I wouldn't mind if Saquon went here.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. Maybe offensive line, too.
Yeah, offensive line in round one. Like, Quentin Nelson in round one and then a running back in round two would be very exciting for fantasy, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be. I would like that running back then.
Yeah. Oakland, 10th pick. Defense.
100%.
Yeah. You imagine they'll draft a wide receiver at some point, though?
I mean, given the fact that they're one is young in Amari Cooper, their two is collecting Social Security, Jordy Nelson, and their three is terrible in Seth Roberts. So, yes, they probably need to address that spot.
Okay. Chargers have the 17th pick in the draft. What's on their wish list?
Defense. And offensive line tackle.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they take a running back in the second or third or third or fourth round.
I would be.
They didn't talk like they thought Eckler was a number two.
You did get that from the combine from
Anthony Lynn?
Yeah. In terms of talking about wanting a little bit more of size from the second guy.
But it might be a fifth or sixth round pick, too.
It'd
be kind of fun if they took Hayden Hurst. You had Hunter Henry and Hayden Hurst.
I think there are so many, like, older backup running backs that are available because nobody wants to sign these guys with the draft being what it is, that they could also take a veteran guy just to have for depth, too.
Like DeMarco. If DeMarco just wants a job.
Sure.
The Chargers have a talented team.
They really do.
Right?
But they need some... They need help at tackle. The interior offensive line is pretty good when you look at it. Feeney, Mike Pouncey, Forrest Lamp's going to come back.
Yep. They could use tackle. Every mock draft I've seen, because I had them in this mock draft that we did, was McClinchy as an offensive tackle from Notre Dame or interior defensive line. So I won't tell you what pick I made.
Okay. And the Chiefs do not have a first-round pick. They have the 22nd pick of round two. The Chiefs.
Just take a bunch of offensive linemen and make sure Patrick Mahomes stays safe.
If they could somehow give him 4 seconds in the pocket every play, they'll go
4 seconds.
they'll put up 35 a game.
They're going to score on most of those plays with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins.
All right, yeah. So offensive line makes sense for them, and they don't have a first round pick, so I don't care about the Kansas City Chiefs. There, I said it. Emails and tweets.
Yeah. I mean, they're not in as good a place as the Giants right now.
Well, not next Thursday. No, of course they're not. Mark from Middle River, Maryland. A lot of M's there, a lot of alliteration. I have played in just one league, so not sure how different league rules handle playoff rosters and moves. But one thing I noted from last year's FFT shows were the waiver wire pickups during the playoffs. My league freezes the roster at the beginning of the playoffs. Is this common or uncommon? I prefer freezing the rosters during the playoffs as we have to consider our roster depth and plan for three games. I also hate the idea of losing to an owner who benefits by having a better waiver claim spot, ergo a poorer season, and subsequently benefits from very late season injuries. Your thoughts?
So are football rosters frozen throughout the NFL playoffs? I know, like,
no.
in baseball,
you
they
mean
are.
In real life.
Right.
No.
Then I don't think it should be.
I don't think it should be either. If you are going to freeze them, then I strongly recommend having deep benches. Don't just have five bench spots and try and get a backup for every position. I think you should expand that for the playoff teams. Let them add players off waivers and then freeze them if you're going to do it that way.
Why is that fun?
Why is what fun?
Freezing it.
No, I don't like it. What if your quarterback
is hurt
or something?
Isn't that theoretically to challenge the owner and say, okay, this is your team. Let's see who's the best and who's built their roster.
Okay, and then somebody gets
hurt.
That's
the argument people use playing into week 17, is the team that's built the best roster should be able to handle
17
weeks.
But you know going into week 17, at least some semblance of an idea of who's going to play and who's not going to play. You don't know who's going to get hurt in week 14 if you have a bye.
Of course not.
And then you play, like, I just go back to that one team I had. 3 years ago at this point, where I lost Andy Dalton.
It was week
Dalton.
15. The week 15 Masters.
No, it was week 14.
It was?
I lost
14.
I lost Andy Dalton to the thumb injury and Thomas Rawls to the broken ankle. And I lost in the first round of the playoffs. But there are a lot of people that had bye weeks. And you don't have those players. So imagine if you're stuck. That would stink.
Yeah. Okay, so let me propose two solutions to this problem. Because the part of it that I do get is the frustration of a lower-seeded team having a worse season and getting this great pickup late for the playoffs. What if you either, A, use FAB, which I think everybody should do, free agent acquisition budget. FAB is the best because that makes
it like an auction every week in your league.
Yes, and there's two strategies. One, how much do I bid on the player? And two, I got to save my money throughout the season to make sure I have something left for the postseason. But the other thing
would be, you don't spend any money at all and you just go with the cheap.
What if you spend $1 every other week? And then when you get to the playoffs, you've got $92.
You've got a nice view from the sideline because you're not in the playoffs. But what if you change the waiver wires during the playoffs and give the higher seed the first waiver wire priority?
So you're going to make the teams that were better in the regular season even better in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've earned that. They've earned the waiver wire priority.
Or you have where waivers don't reset.
Yeah, could do that too. All right, hey, just food for thought.
But how many scenarios, though, does that happen?
It could happen. I don't know.
No, it could, and I'm sure it has. I'm just saying, like, how many times has there been a guy week 14, 15, 16 that's been added that was so out of the blue that became the difference maker in the playoffs?
Oh, I would think somewhat often, just like a running back gets hurt and Brandon Oliver has a big game or something like that. Did that happen a couple years ago?
I'm agreeing with you that it does happen. But
oh, it
like,
does happen. Yeah.
Is it so much to the point, though, where there's that guy that comes completely out of nowhere?
I don't know, but I can understand the frustration of the waiver wire priority thing, and I think there are ways to change that. But I don't think any of us are in favor of freezing rosters, so don't do it.
Sure, but if you had to do it that way, at least have a rule that says that if you lose a player in the playoffs, you can replace him. Maybe that's the only way you should be allowed to pick up a waiver. No, but at least this way I can't pick up a breakout player off waivers and just have him sit on my bench so you can't use him after you lost Thomas Rawls and Andy Dalton in the same week.
Why did I think Brandon Oliver? Somebody took over for Melvin Gordon late in 2016? I don't know. You guys think figure it out. Nathan Schultz. What's your take on Superflex leagues? Everyone in my league turned it down. I would like to change their minds.
I enjoy doing one or two of them per year. I do think they make a lot more sense now since there's like 40 starting quarterbacks that could be top 12 this year.
Hmm. What if you're in a Superflex league, but you don't know you're in a Superflex league until the league is actually over, except for the fact that the league is called the Flex League? Oh, what? Sorry. Inside joke. I'm not allowed to say it.
What if in a super flex league you just drafted one quarterback and left the other spot open?
Right, a super flex league is where you can play a quarterback if you want as your flex. You know what would be more interesting? You can play a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, or a kicker. Or a defense as your flex. You can play any position you want as a flex.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb. You're dumb.
Speaking of dumb, I need to apologize to you.
Whoa!
Earlier today, well, I figured I'd wait until the end of the podcast when nobody was listening anymore. Earlier in the day, I criticized you for not knowing what pearl snaps are.
Yeah.
87% of my Twitter followers do not know. I'm shocked, but I should not have made fun of you.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
It's this shirt.
It's those buttons on his shirt.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a country style of shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, those are nice.
Thank you.
I do like them. They are nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Daryl from... Oh, no, wait. First, C. Miller. Azer strategy. DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller or Michael Thomas and Cameron Meredith? Which do you like better? Considering you can get Meredith later than Fuller. Hopkins and Fuller or Thomas and Meredith?
The Texans.
How can you go against the Texans after last year?
I'll say the Saints.
Okay. C. Miller actually called this the Azer ship strategy, which is good.
I'll take the Texans just on the fact that they don't have two great running backs on their team that's going to hog up 450 plays.
I've seen that I could start both Texans receivers. I don't know that I could start both Saints.
Right, exactly. That helps.
But you're not drafting Meredith as a starter.
No, but I don't think that... I don't know if... Well, I guess it's probably the same for either. I don't know if either guy benefits if the other one gets hurt.
Where, in New Orleans?
I don't know if Meredith becomes a star if Thomas goes down, or Will Fuller becomes a star if Hopkins goes down.
No, but
Will Fuller will be the one to go down.
Yeah, true.
All right, Daryl from Columbus. Hey, Kenny, Omar, and Jim. Heath, Kenny, Omar, and Jim?
Yeah.
Cleveland Indians?
What sport is that?
12-team league. Each
the one
team,
where you, Darvish, ruins your fantasy team?
Each team gets to keep one player with their draft position from last year and moves up around every year. The league-wide discussion every year becomes, what should be announced first, the draft order or the keepers? What do you guys think?
Well, you hate to be the guy to keep a player for a first-round pick and then get the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Because then you could have used that pick to, you could have kept somebody else and then used that first pick in your draft to keep the player that you want to keep in the first-round pick.
I don't understand why any sort of keeper leagues would not have the previous order of finish, because you know everyone is in the league from the previous year, and so it should just be how you finished the year before should determine your draft order for next season.
I can't imagine doing a keeper league where we don't know the draft order before selecting our keepers. That's crazy, Daryl. You tell your league, draft order first, then keepers. We've got a Dynasty League trade from Aaron in Maine. And he says, Dear Robert, Ray, Joe, and Lorraine. Yeah, I also don't know. Jerick McKinnon, giving up. McKinnon, Danny Amendola, and the second round rookie draft pick, sixth pick of round two. McKinnon, Amendola, and the second round pick of the rookie draft for Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
A+.
Yeah.
You're getting Bell. You're doing great.
That's outstanding. This is from Joe from the Gateway to the Midwest.
That would be the St. Louis.
Heath, is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Isn't that the Gateway to the West?
You don't know that, Adam?
That was the Gateway to the West, not the Gateway to the Midwest.
I think it is actually the Gateway to the West.
By the way,
what is the Gateway to the Midwest? Is that like Lexington, Kentucky?
It all shows St. Louis.
Knoxville.
So. By the way, those Robert, Ray, Joe, and Lorraine was the cast of Goodfellas. That's stupid. All right, Joe from the Gateway says, Dear Ronald, Dave, Jack, and Carl... We'll come back to that. 10-team PPR league. You can keep a player for 3 years. Each year, you're moved up one draft slot. I can keep Antonio Brown in the first or Le'Veon Bell in the sixth in their last year. This guy, I think he voice typed this, so the typos are great. So Antonio Brown in the first in his final year, Le'Veon Bell in the sixth final year, or Josh Gordon in the eighth, or Mark Ingram in the eighth, and I can keep them for 3 years.
I'd keep both the Steelers and go win the league and figure out next year's keepers next year.
Le'Veon's the easy one.
I think you can only pick one, right? So it's Le'Veon.
No, I think two. I think no, you can pick two. So Le'Veon's one. Who's the other?
Ingram.
Ingram in the eighth.
Yep.
Okay.
Then Brown, then Gordon.
He says Die Hard is a Christmas movie and Jerry Maguire is a rom com. So he's one for two.
I was gonna say, if you didn't continue after the Die Hard, this was a shock that you actually picked one that supported an argument against yours.
All the time. I'm very fair.
No way.
This is from AC. Where's he from?
Bayside.
12 team peeper.
The peeper league. Wow. What are the rules in that one?
12 team PPR keeper league.
Adam would be a star in the peeper league.
Has that story been told?
The story's been told, but it was a long time ago.
Outstanding.
Do we tell it again? Adam will probably edit it out.
No, I'll tell it. I'll tell it after we read these two emails.
I'd like to read your sleepers, breakouts, and busts in the Peeper League.
12-team Peeper League, PPR keeper. Every year the round value gets cut in half. So keep three. Gurley in round one. Mixon in round four. Davante Adams in round five. Deshaun Watson round 10. Josh Gordon round 10. Andrew Luck round 11. Pick three.
Gurley and Adams are the easy two, right?
Adams for sure.
Gurley for sure. And I'd go Gordon.
Yeah, round 10.
12-team PPR, everybody's going to have a stud quarterback.
Yep.
But Gurley in round one, though, I mean.
Well, if you don't, though, you're
he's not just a first-rounder. He's the number one overall pick.
Yes, but we don't know where he picks, right?
No.
Hopefully so, all right, he does. So assuming you don't have the number one overall pick, Gurley should be kept.
All right. Okay, Dennis says, Dear Trent, Doug, and David, first three running backs drafted in 2012, all busts. 12-team league, which uses a maximum of 30 add drops for the season. How much of a higher premium would you put on drafting top tight ends, quarterbacks, and DSTs? So you can't stream quite as much, only 30 add drops. That's like two a week. So how much more would you... of a premium would you put on quarterback, tight end, and DST?
DST, none.
I'd probably say none on quarterback either.
A tight end for sure would be the one where I would be much more interested in getting a top six tight end. I'm not sure if I'm on the two tight end train yet. I might bump Jacksonville up a round.
Yeah, I think I kind of feel like a DST that you can start just about every week is pretty valuable because you could be stuck with a terrible DST and get a zero. Well,
would you have said that about Denver last year?
Maybe, but I mean, accepting the fact that there are busts at every position every year, that is the most streamable position. So you can't stream DSTs in this league. You know? You got to take a good one.
Well, you can.
Not really. Two moves per week? Can't prioritize a DST.
Well, you're not going to do it every week.
I guess. I mean,
I don't necessarily think you have to take the Browns or the Raiders, but you don't necessarily have to make defense a priority.
Would you take the Eagles or the Falcons?
I wouldn't take the Falcons to begin with, so no.
Those are the two teams that will play the first game of the NFL season.
Woo!
The schedule leaking. The fun of the schedule.
All right, so let's set the scene. CBSSports.com offices in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, it's not just the office. It's the men's room.
Yeah, you walk into the bathroom. You walk into the men's room. First thing you see, you got the sinks on the right. You walk a little bit farther. You got three sinks on the right. If you walk a little bit farther, you've got four urinals on the left, and you've got four stalls to the right of the urinal. So in between the urinals and the stalls, what, 6 feet? 10 feet wide separating the two? Eight feet.
What?
I haven't been there in a while.
Between the urinals and the stalls?
5 feet? Five feet.
It's like a prison bathroom. Three and a half,
no,
4 feet.
5 feet, I think.
I think six is right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It depends. Like between the actual urinal or between the man standing at the urinal?
Well, I think if you were to just do it, it's like an acre and a half.
Okay. Right. So if you're sitting on the can, you're looking at the urinal if the door is open. But of course, the door is closed. So when I go pee in the bathroom, I prefer nobody be in there. So you check the stalls. There are no legs. Doors are open. If all the stall doors are open, you know there's nobody in there. Okay.
I'm scarred for life.
But there's one stall, the third one, the door does not stay open. It's always closed. So you can't know if somebody's in there. So I go to pee, and I had to look, and there's like a crack, you know, that you could look through to see if somebody was in the stall.
With the number one pick in the peeper league.
And somebody was in the stall.
Yeah, so
why would you look in the stall?
I wanted to know if I had privacy.
To pee?
I wanted to know if I had privacy too until I saw your big face.
Are you in there?
You didn't know that story, Heath?
I had not ever heard that story.
Of all people he peeped, he peeped me.
It is so, well, thank goodness. I mean, think of who it could have been.
Not from his perspective. I haven't let him live it down forever.
But how did you know I saw? You didn't see me look, did you?
You, of course. What do you mean? You looked.
I cannot believe that.
Well, I just wanted to know. I wanted to know my surroundings. You always got to be cognizant of your surroundings.
He didn't, like, just look. Like, first off, the space between the doors is very big for average.
It's almost an inch.
Yeah.
It's almost an inch.
And so all of a sudden, like, I'm like, why is Adam looking at me?
I didn't look for long. So, I turned right around.
So what do you do when you walk into those restrooms and there are people in there? Do you just, like, hang out outside until everybody leaves?
No, I still pee. I just am not as comfortable. Not as excited to be.
Regardless.
Yeah, I'm going to go, but I'd like to know. I got to know what's around you. You always got to be looking.
You're always looking to see feet under the stalls, aren't you?
If I needed to, yeah, but usually you can tell because the doors are open, but not in that particular stall. Jamie picked the wrong stall. What do you want me to say? All right, we're out of here. Thank you all.
Picked the wrong friend.
I can't.
It would have been better if it were a stranger, right? Like someone that you didn't know.
Well, we've had some very interesting stories, bathroom stories in our office. There was one time where somebody fell asleep and was snoring in the bathroom.
No way.
Really? Yeah, we called him Sleeping Poopy.
Oh my God.
There was another time where,
that's the best nickname you could come up with?
I came up with that nickname.
That's terrible. Sleeping.
It stuck.
Oh, it stunk.
We could also call him Shoeless Joe.
There was another guy who, he's Tom taking his shoe off, right? Or something?
Took his shoes off in the bathroom.
Right, and saw them underneath the door.
You know, make fists with your toes.
Oh, I get that reference. Merry Christmas. See you later, everybody.
No,
is that an admission?
No.
That's an admission.
Nope, bye.
That's an admission.